listener production. Hi, I'm Sasha Barber-Gatt. Welcome to this episode of The Briefing. And before we start, a trigger warning, we will be discussing sexual assault and domestic violence in today's podcast. This week, an Australian woman became the 25th this year alone to be allegedly murdered by a current or former partner. A court has heard the man accused of murdering her was out on bail at the time for several domestic violence offences related to the victim, including her rape. This story, however tragic, is not unique. Jill Maher, Marsha Vutkovic, Teresa Bradford, Danielle Finlay-Jones, Mackenzie Jones, these are just some of the women on a long list of victims killed by a man who was on parole for previous violent offences. In response to this latest DV murder, the New South Wales Premier has announced a review into the state's judicial system to find out if and where it failed. Every time another woman is lost to domestic violence, we ask ourselves, what can we do? Calls are growing to change our bail system. Surely this could form part of the solution. Well, here to talk to me about it is Dr. Terry Goldsworthy. He's an associate professor in criminology at Bond University, and he also served for 28 years on the Queensland Police Force. Dr. Goldsworthy, thanks for your time. The rules are different for every state, but could you give us a brief overview of what bail actually is and how it's designed to work?
Yeah, look, bail is essentially when you're charged with a criminal charge, it's the allowance of you to go back out into the public. So when you're charged, you appear before the court, the charges are read out and it's then set down for a hearing or whatever else down the track. So in between that initial appearance and the appearances that occur further on in the legal process, there needs to be some kind of facilitation that allows you to go back out into the public or to be held in custody. And that's what we call bail. So people apply for bail, which will allow them to be released, and they may be refused bail if the courts, you know, have looked at circumstances and decide that's the case. So essentially, our justice system says that you are assumed innocent till proven guilty. So we don't keep everyone we charge criminally in custody. We don't have the room for that anyway. But secondly, that does tend to go against the assumption that you are innocent as well.
Charged is different to convicted. Charged is you've been accused of it, but it's to be determined by a court, by whether it's a jury or a judge. My question is, though, how can a man who is charged with previous domestic violence offences be released into the community?
Yeah, look, good question. I mean, when you're looking at the issue of bail and someone appears before the court, there's a number of things that I will consider. And this is generally the case across Australia. I mean, each jurisdiction, each state has its own criminal laws, as is set out under our constitution. But in general principles, the court will look at a number of things, and they include things like the seriousness of the offence, the nature of the offence, the criminal history of the person accused, the history of bail undertakings. Those personal circumstances would go towards consideration of whether they should get bail or not.
Mm. Are there specific guidelines in place that means a judge has to follow those rules, or is it always at the judge's discretion on whether to grant bail?
There are rules. Judges use their discretion, but the rules are usually enshrined in legislation. So you'll have things like the Bail Act or the Youth Justice Act, et cetera, that will provide direction to the judges as to what they should consider. Generally, we have an assumption you will get bail unless the police can show why you shouldn't. In some cases, we have a reversal of that, and that is occurs in regards to a case of serious repeat youth offenders. Also occurs, in Queensland, if you're charged with strangulation offence, for example, in a DV setting, you will be required to show cause why you should get bail.
I do want to get to whether we need an overhaul in just a minute, but first, I suppose, the question is then, if a judge is giving bail to someone who has been accused of the extremely serious offence of domestic violence, as we've seen time and time again, what protections are put in place for victims and for their families to make sure that what we see time and time again doesn't happen?
Yeah, look, I mean, it goes on. I think the judges will look at the strength of the evidence. I mean, not all criminal cases are equal. The basis for charging someone is you reasonably suspect that they've committed the offence, and you think you have a reasonable proposition of being successful in prosecuting. The variations between those criminal charges will be great. Some will be weak cases, some will be very strong cases based on the evidence. the seriousness of the offending, and you talked about domestic violence matters there, offending within those relationships, we know can be very problematic in terms of re-offending. So, I mean, all of those things go into play. Community safety is probably the most important part of consideration, I would think, in terms of granting bail. I mean, we know we have the assumption of innocence, et cetera, but if there are risk indicators there, and essentially the judge is doing a risk evaluation of the person and whether they should be released back into the community, community protection should be paramount. So if you're getting someone released in terms of DV offences or serious offending, et cetera, and you have concerns that they're at risk of reoffending, well, generally they probably shouldn't be getting bail. Now, if they are given bail, there are circumstances the judge can put in place to try and restrict that risk, and they include things such as reporting to police daily. It can be curfews. It can be restricting their ability to approach people, approach locations, geolocations, things like that. It could be the wearing of a tracker. All of those things are possibilities that you could do to restrict the risk to the public of a alleged offender being back out on bail and reoffending.
Mm. It doesn't work though, does it? Because as I've mentioned, there is a long and sadly growing list of women who are killed by a man who is on bail for previous domestic violence offences. And the question I immediately asked this week was to myself and to my colleagues and to my husband and to the people around me was, why are we not banning bail for people who are accused of domestic violence, who clearly could pose a significant risk to their victims, whether it's a partner or their mother or their sister or whoever? Could we see a ban? Like, could a ban work? Does our system, our judicial system, have the capacity to say blanket ban, no one who's committed or accused of a domestic violence offence can get bail?
Yeah, look, it just wouldn't work. I mean, the jails would fill within probably a couple of weeks and you'd have them full of people on remand for DV-related offences. The sheer scope and scale of DV offending, you know, as the definition of DV is expanded out. So in 1989, it came in, I was a young constable in Queensland, and all it included was physical violence and damage to property. If you have a look now at the definitions of DV, especially with the addition of coercive control, et cetera, it is now so broad we are capturing many more activities and actions, et cetera. So by virtue of that, DV offences have had to increase by the scale of the definition expanding. If we were to mandatorily say that you're charged with a DV-related offence and you can't get bail, it would just be very problematic in terms of where would you fit all those people? You know, and as I said, you know, some cases are more serious than others in terms of the harm inflicted on the victims, et cetera. I don't think it would work. I think you mentioned before a review of bail laws, et cetera. That is something that I think is always worthwhile. If you can go back and look at the bail laws or any particular law and see if there is a problem with the application of that law. And I'll give an example of that in Queensland is that, you know, we looked at the Atkinson report, looked in 2022 at bail grants to youth offenders. And what it found is that 50% of youth offenders granted bail went on to reoffend again. And it found within that, with that 50%, 20% of them, 20% of people granted bail as youth offenders committed serious crimes. 9% of those people who were released on bail as youth offenders went on to commit an offence that caused death or grievous bodily harm. Now, that kind of data, that kind of review, is good because it shows you that there is a problem in terms of reoffending for people, for youth offenders in Queensland anyway, on bail. And we're talking about serious repeat offenders. And so, you know, if you start going down the path of mandatory sentencing because it is a category of an offence, especially one that's, you know, there's so many. I mean, if you look at the amount of DV orders taken out in Queensland, tens of thousands, other states would be in similar situations. You're going to overload the criminal justice system and it just simply won't function.
Mm. Dr. Goldsworthy, just before I let you go, we've seen that New South Wales this week has announced it will, we don't know the details yet, but it will do a review of the judicial system. Do you think that could spark further reviews nationwide, or do we have to wait for this to happen to a woman in Victoria, a woman in Queensland, a woman in WA to see other states follow suit?
Yeah, I'm not sure whether the other states will follow suit. They'll probably look at it and take note of what the findings are. I mean, as I said, each state has a slight variation on bail and how they give it, et cetera. And there are nuances within those different legislations, so it wouldn't apply directly across necessarily. But certainly, I mean, every state is has got issues going on, I guess, in relation to criminal offending. You know, you cite the DB one in New South Wales, and then we have up here the youth offending issue in terms of bail that's certainly been very prominent, et cetera. So the bail system is constantly being looked at and reviewed, I think. Whether we could do that better is always open to debate. And, you know, the criminal justice system is essentially about risk management, where you look at the risks, you identify what they are, you prioritise them, you manage them, and then you need to evaluate how well did you manage them. And that's what the process in New South Wales is effectively doing now, I suspect, is an evaluation of how well are we managing DV matters, in particular bail effects of bail granting in DV matters and flow-on harms that occur from that. So I think evaluations are always valuable, especially if they're done in a transparent way and all that kind of information is made available to the public, because I think the public are very deserving in terms of knowing what the outcomes are, and nothing should be kept from the public.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better. Dr. Goldsworthy, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
No worries, anytime.
That was Dr. Terry Goldsworthy speaking with me there. And a reminder, support is always available. If you need advice or services, call the free National Domestic Violence Hotline on 1-800-RESPECT. If you are in immediate danger, dial 000. And if you need someone to talk to, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14 or 13YARN. That is all for today. Thank you for being here. The Briefing will be back in your feeds tomorrow morning and arvo with two special Anzac Day eps. I'm Sasha Barbagat. See you next time.